ICEA Gear has outfitted over 10,000 bow hunters across the country, and we're continuing to raise the bar when it comes to bow hunting camo. New for the 23 season, we introduce our never-before-seen panel fabric system designed to be dead quiet, along with our patent-pending bow hunting collar. ICEA Gear. Features and function built for bow hunters by bow hunters. Learn more at asiogear.com.
The mobile hunter is obsessed with exploring unfamiliar places, and this is what our gear is designed to do. At Latitude Outdoors, we build mobile hunting equipment for hunters who like to move often and move fast. Whether you're an experienced whitetail hunter or new to the game, if you want to be mobile, we have options that are worth considering. Our saddles, climbing sticks, and platforms are made right here in the USA and are available at latitudeoutdoors.com. Thanks for checking out the gear, and good luck this season.
Welcome to the Better Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey and Jerry Goins, where we celebrate the ancient paths of our bear bow ancestors, where hard work and woodsmanship outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who've gone before us and welcome those yet to come. Join us as we share valuable insight about the bear bow hunter's lifestyle. Hey guys, this is Nate Bailey with Bear Bow Hunters Podcast. And last couple podcasts, I told you guys to leave us a 5-star review. And if you did, I would look it up and I'd get your name. I have your names, but somehow or another, I lost your contact info. And I want to get those knife sharpeners out to you before the season starts. So if you could send me those, if you were the first and I contacted you, if you could send me those addresses, I would really appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Now, enjoy this podcast. It's going to be great. We have Dirk Durham, the bugler, the one and only, the maverick call inventor, renegade, bugle tube. I don't know what you want to say, but we have him coming up and he's going to help us get close to elk. Here we go. Well, hello guys. Here we are with another edition of Bear Bow Hunters Podcast. And today we have a very special guest, somebody that I really need to pick the brain of, Dirk Durham, the bugler. How you doing, Dirk?
Oh, hey there. Doing good.
So, before we get moving into this podcast, I thought it might be good to just to get a bunch of stuff out front. And one of the things I'd like to do is steer people to your website, because there's so much cool stuff there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was checking it out, and I kind of feel bad because I really haven't checked out the t-shirts a whole lot, and I really need to check out the t-shirts more because you got some pretty bad t-shirts.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. John Gabriel designed them. We dreamt up these t-shirts, and he did all the artwork on them, and man, I think he hit it out of the park with them.
Yeah, you could see some heavy metal influence in there.
Maybe, you know, or Monster Truck. Rally thing.
It's good stuff. And then of course you have, if you've been living under a rock and you haven't heard, but you have your call, and what is your call again?
It's called the Maverick.
So my son Gage, that's what he uses, that's his favorite call, is he uses the Maverick. And if you guys haven't heard, anybody that's listened to this podcast, you guys, if you haven't played with any of these elk calls, any in the Phelps line, the bro calls, your call, any of those, if you haven't played with any of those, you guys really have missed out. You really need to go out there and check them out. So they could get them on your website, I see, as well.
Yeah. I just sell mine on mine. I don't carry the full Phelps line up right on my website. I just carry the stuff I use. It's probably dumb of me because there's probably a lot of people that don't use my call that would probably buy stuff. So maybe that'll be a 2021 project.
Yeah. So are you going to carry the pink one?
I'll carry all of them, but that pink one. I mean, you know, but there's probably a lot of ladies that visit the site, you know, and want to buy, you know, get ready for hunting season. So they might want to buy that call. So,
hey, you know, now that the yoga pants are out, you have to be an equal opportunity person, right?
That's true. That's true. Now that the playing field has been leveled with the yoga pants, I mean, you know, I guess we're all equal now.
So
that sounds terrible.
Okay, if you guys don't know what we're talking about here, the Yoga Pants is a commercial that you have to see, absolutely have to see, and I think it's probably on First Light's webpage as well.
I don't know if it is. I know it's on my Instagram and Facebook pages, but I don't know if they put it on theirs or not.
Yeah, and that's the Bugler, right? The Bugler's your Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The Bugler. One word.
Cool. So we got all that out of the way. We introduced you. We told everybody where they could go to check out your stuff. And quite honestly, you really do need to look at that. If you haven't blown a Maverick call, you need to look at that. And actually, you know, I have a Maverick call here that's still in the package. Maybe we should give one away to somebody who comes on and leaves us a 5-star review. Why don't we do that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So if you leave a 5-star review, the first person to do that, that listens to this, I will be checking. The first person that leaves a 5-star review on this podcast will get a Maverick call sent to him. And you'll see why Gage likes it so well. And I think Dirk likes it a little bit too.
Yeah, exactly.
It works.
It's not a big deal. I could tell you it'd probably bore you, but you know, it's science, really.
It is science, yes. And I don't really want to dive into that because, you know, when you
probably
start,
wouldn't understand.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have the ability to take notes at that deep of a level, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I don't have a chalkboard big enough, so
yeah,
that's the way it is.
Yeah, darn it.
So one of the reasons that I really wanted to get you on here, Dirk, is you know, bow season, I do traditional bow hunting. Of course, my son uses a compound still. You use a compound as well, but you're a master at getting elk close. And I think, you know, if any animal's really made for a comp or for a traditional bow, it's the elk is probably one of the easiest, just because of how we hunt them. And I mean, you've killed a ton of bulls. How many have been under, say, 30 yards?
Most of them, actually. I could probably count on one hand, maybe the ones that were – no, there's honestly probably been three or four that have been over 30 yards, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, it's archery, elk hunting, calling them in, that's a great option for primitive guys.
Right. I think it's probably I'm going to say this and people are going to disagree with me, but I think it's the easiest animal to hunt with a traditional bow. I really do. I don't think that some people would say, you know, sneaking in on a big old mule deer would be easy too, but.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Calling one to you and having them come to you and then you being able to set up, I think is just, for me, it just makes more sense. But that's why I kind of wanted to get you on here, is to help those guys out that are getting into or switching over or been in for a while, because I know exactly. I've followed you for a long time, and I could see. Well, shoot, last year you even shot one with a mouth tab.
yeah, that was fun. I'm glad I'm back to pulling a bow with both arms now.
yeah. So how is that going?
Good. After I finished all my physical therapy, which I spent a few months doing physical therapy, and I had my bow set at 50, and the first time I drew it, there was no pain whatsoever. So
nice.
That's been great. Yeah. But what I did notice is I had developed a lot of weird bad habits, because shooting with your teeth, your stance is way different, and holding the way you hold your shoulder position, and everything was just way different. And I'd kind of got into that mode, and I hadn't remembered back to change back to normal shooting with both hands. And so it took me a little while to get rid of those bad habits.
Right. And for those of you guys that don't know, this is you have this all on YouTube. You have a YouTube channel, and I think it was, what was the video? It was like Mouth Tab Madness. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, it's mouth tab madness.
Yeah, so it was
in
good.
The arrow of destiny.
Oh yeah, it was good though. And the whole story behind it, I don't want to say too much because I want everybody to go over and check it out. It's worth your time. It'll get you super stoked for elk season, as if you need any more than what's going on right now. I'm this year for some reason I'm just really, 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 really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that whole series, you know, you can go to episode 10 and see the grand finale. But if you want to learn some stuff about elk hunting, you know, I kind of dive in on some good nuggets along the way in every episode. So at least of the hunt. So yeah. If a guy has a person has the time to watch them, then I think you'll enjoy them and maybe pick up a nugget or two of information.
Yeah, I'm not going to say if you have the time. I'm going to say make the time. You guys need to make the time. I mean, it's same with the bro stuff. You got to make the time to watch this stuff. If you want to be an elk hunter and you want to be successful, you can fast forward through some of the slower stuff if you want, but you have to see what's going on, because I'll tell you what, I wish I had this when I started bow hunting elk, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I wish I had something that I could fall back on and look at this stuff, because I know I have a family friend who I think he's been hunting two seasons now, and he got into it because of you guys. And he went up, and he went up in the Cascades and killed a monster of a Cascade bull last year.
Whoa!
Yeah,
wow,
using
awesome.
Your guys' stuff. Yep. Yeah, and doing what you guys do, and he learned how to call from you guys, you know, all digitally, and. His name's Dustin. Dustin, if you're listening to this, it's you. But it's pretty cool, man, when you see that. And I think that's why I brought you on, is because I want to pass that on to other people so we could get a lot of these bear bow guys to be able to call these bulls into them. So
yeah.
So with that said, what's your favorite? See, I'm going to grill you. I'm going to try to pick your brain as much as I can here. So what is your favorite setup? I mean, so do you call with somebody behind you quite a ways, or do you have somebody right with you, or how do you work that?
It depends. If I'm by myself, you know, it's a completely different game. But if I've got a partner that's gonna be the shooter, I like to put them ahead of me, you know, 40, 50 yards. But I like to stay in contact where we can see each other. That way we can have visual, you know, we can give each other some little signals to be like, go back or come forward or whatever. I hate losing track of my shooter, because then you're kind of flying blind a little bit and you don't know which way to pull the bull if you lose sight of your shooter.
Gotcha. And, you know, we kind of did that last year. We Gage called in a bull for me. That's the first bull that anybody else has ever called in for me. And Gage,
man, that's awesome.
Yeah, my son was the first guy to do it, which is cool.
That's so cool.
And we kind of got mixed up there, and he was downhill of me, and he called the bull right across in front of me, but he was downhill at that angle enough that bull was about, and I kept turning around trying to tell him, go uphill. And then he was busted. The bull was looking right straight at where he was.
Oh man.
Yeah. But, that's something. So what we're thinking maybe is trying, and we're trying to film as well. So that makes it a little bit more difficult, but we're trying to have the caller a little bit closer. Have you done that before?
Yeah, especially in brushy country, you know, if it's pretty thick country with heavy timber, maybe some brush, I don't mind having a caller real close. Like when I'd go hunting with my son, then I tried, you know, putting him ahead, you know, 30 yards or whatever, but it always seemed to not work out because there was a little bit of a disconnect. Mm-hmm. But whenever I put him right in front of me, to where I could, this sounds terrible, almost like a puppet master. Like I had him like right within arm's length where,
gotcha,
if I could steer his body, you know, move his body position, whichever direction the bull was going to come from.
Right.
That seemed to work a lot better than, getting separated, especially for new hunters, or maybe hunters that haven't hunted a lot together. With each other, you haven't kind of figured out your vibe yet. You know, it's not a bad idea to hunt pretty close to each other.
Right. And when you do that, do you change your bugling at all?
I do. I kind of do it the same way as I would just kind of picture it as me hunting solo. So there's a lot of trickery, you know, to when you're solo to get those bulls in that last little bit, such as maybe pointing my tube, you know, directly behind me in the direction I want or the direction I think I want the bull to think I am, depending on wind and such.
Right.
And then I'll put a hand over my tube and muffle it, and I'll make a quieter bugle to where it sounds like, oh, I'm up to the hill 100 yards or whatever.
Right.
Do something like that, or maybe I think he's coming, and I'll make one more call, then I'll move up. I'll move into a different position. I'll move forward towards the elk, and then I'll move maybe 10, 15 yards to the downwind side and then stand there motionless and wait for him to come. Because, man, elk, they have this uncanny ability to know exactly where you make those noises from. Even from a long distance, it's crazy. But, you know, if you watch their ears, it's like they're directional, man. They can just zoom in, hone in. They got those big cups, and they can really hear. They can hear well. So by doing that, you know, quietly moving your last position from where you called, that's worked a lot too for me.
Gotcha. So, we're packing that heads up decoy with us this year too.
Oh yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, that would be a good tactic, you know, is to set that decoy up to where like its head's in the brush so it couldn't tell if it was a bull or a cow, but call and then move and then keep that decoy there.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's ever tried that before or not.
Oh, I think so. You know, it seems like decoys, especially, I think they almost prey on the curiosity a little bit more elk. So if the decoy is just sitting there motionless, sometimes they get weirded out by it.
Uh-huh.
But if your caller can poke it out from behind the tree,
gotcha,
and give it a little movement, just kind of show it a little bit, and then take it back to where they just get that glimpse
right. Of
an elk, you know, and then maybe put it back out a little bit, and then just kind of give them a few little glimpses. A lot of times they're like, oh, I saw something, you know, they'll catch that flash, and they'll see, you know, an elk-like thing, and then, you know, the curiosity will overtake them a lot of times.
Yeah. I've never used the decoy. Well, I take that back. A long time ago, like 20 years ago, we had this place where cows were crossing all the time in there, and back then you could shoot a cow. And we put this great big burlap sack up because we were trying to get them to cross and come into the timber line. They were crossing kind of right where the sage was, and we put that thing out, and they came out just like normal, you know. And so I was hiding behind this big, and it was about three times the size of any regular elk. and I kind of painted the back end of it, trying to make it look a little bit more elky. And I sat back there, and I let out a little cow mew, and every one of those elk turned and looked at the cow decoy. And for a second, you could kind of look, you look at an elk or any animal, and you could see like really a ton of confusion on their face. That's exactly and I don't know what I said, but I probably was mean enough as a cow, and they thought, uh-oh. They just turned right back around from where they came, and I never did see them again the rest of the week. They never would come back through there, so I don't know.
They probably told a story of this weird giant cow that talked some smack to them, and they got the heck out of there.
Right. No telling what kind of language I was giving them, right? They might have been like, oh, man, those guys came up from, you know, no telling where, the foreigner elk that came in there and told us off. but that's the only real, you know, time that I've tried decoying. But I think with some of these head decoys, I think a person could get away with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Way back in the day, I always thought, you know, why are we wearing camouflage? We need an elk suit, right? Need a hat. Need a hat that looks like an elk head, and you need a dress, and your clothes need to be the color of an elk.
And then
fast forward several years, and then somebody, you know, like the
heads up.
The heads up.
Yeah.
Is it the heads up?
Oh, no. It's, yeah.
No.
The hat they wear.
What the heck is that, Nate Call?
Man, I don't know.
The decoy.
That's it.
Be the decoy.
Yep.
Yeah, and they got deer heads and antelope heads and elk heads. And, you name it. But I think it works to some degree.
Yeah, I think definitely it would. It would, especially that heads up. I think that would work real well. And I've seen some of them that you put on your bow. Have you seen those? Then you could shoot through them.
Yeah, yeah. Those things look like a wind sail, though. I'd be afraid the wind would pick up and like make me shoot bad. But it's kind of a cool idea.
It's kind of fun. It'd be kind of fun to see how the animals react to them. I would. That'd be really fun to do. I use a turkey. I have that heads up turkey decoy, and you put the regular fan on a turkey. And I'll tell
you,
I've
got one of those.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it either works or it doesn't. It's one or the other with that decoy. Some of them are like, oh my gosh, I'm getting out of here. And then I've had other ones just come up and attack it. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. Funny. Yeah.
Turkeys are crazy. I've seen out in farmers' pastures, and there'll be some like old, there'll be like an old axle with a tire on it. Right? Right. And them things will be strutting around that tire showing off. Like they want to fight the tires. Like, man, turkeys are the dumbest bird on earth.
Yeah, they're the dumbest psycho on earth.
Oh, yeah, but they're so wary. And,
yeah.
And, oh, yeah, they're crazy to hunt.
Yeah, yeah. I tell the story of turkeys. We had a chrome bumper, and I was turkey hunting, came back to the pickup, and there's a stupid turkey looking at the bumper strutting. The chrome bumper on the BLM land. I didn't have the heart to shoot him. I was thinking, you know, that wouldn't be real sporting after going up there setting up decoys, shooting a turkey that's looking at himself in the bumper.
No.
One of those ghost blinds would actually work really good for that.
Yeah. I bet it would.
It'd be a bad shot angle straight down, but
yeah.
So back to elk. I'm sorry, I get off on these tangents, but so what, take me through a sequence. So like a sequence of your day when you start calling, if say you were just a beginner caller, what would you suggest beginners to go out and do as far as their sequence through the day to figure out how to actually call in a bull? Because I know a lot of guys call, a lot of guys hear bugles, but then they just kind of get, and I did it for years. I got to where I'd hear a bugle and I'd try to call him in. I'd set up right there when I heard that bugle. So can you go through that?
Yeah. So I think the first thing I'd like to say is, you know, especially for new callers and new bow hunters, I feel like they go out there and they're like, I don't know if these calls are going to work or not, or if it's going to sound right, and they don't have a lot of faith maybe in their calls. And they'll go out and they'll spend a few hours and be like, oh, this just is not, it's not working. And sometimes they get frustrated and say, heck with it, I'm going to go back to camp. But honestly, I've heard some pretty bad callers call in elk.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird because you've probably heard those little birds in the woods that sound like a cow elk. There's right. A little bird that makes a cow elk sound. And I'm like, how do the elk know that bird's not another elk when it sounds better than some of the people I've watched on YouTube or whatever try to call in elk? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And the terrible callers, my brother, when we first started, he was a horrible caller, and he would call in elk no problem. So I think just having that, you know, guys, just have that confidence to don't give up. You know, it's sometimes frustrating, but, you know, every day I go out, we don't get bulls to bugle. Sometimes you may spend a couple days just trying to get into elk before you find one that'll bugle, and then it's good. But so don't give up. But once we, as soon as I hear a bull bugle, so immediately I've got my wind checker, right? And up until that point, I've been checking the wind a lot anyway. But I double check the wind, look at where he's at, you know, try to figure out where he's at, how far he is. Is he close? Is he a long ways away? If he's a long ways away, I kind of like to have two or three good responses from that bull before I go after him, because I really want to pinpoint where he's at. And once I kind of pinpoint him, and especially if it's a pretty good distance, you know, quarter mile or 500 yards or, you know, across a big draw or something, then I clam up. I don't say another word. I've located him. I have a pretty good idea where I'm going. So then I just get over there. And I don't worry about being too quiet at this point. At this point, I just need to get over there, close the gap, If I'm popping brush and stuff, as long as I figure he's out of earshot, we're pretty good. You know, just get over there. But as you approach, as you start getting closer, you start thinking, he's a couple hundred yards away. That's when I start slowing down, you know, being a little quieter. And I'm starting to look for, you know, good places to maybe try to call him in. Because I want to try to get 100 yards from him, if at all possible, or maybe 200, depending on the terrain, depending on, you know, the thickness of the forest. But I want to try to get as close as I can before I start calling again. And before I call, I'm looking for lanes, shooting lanes, okay? And I always say, if you have a spot that's got 5 or 6 really good shooting lanes, you're set up in the wrong spot, man. because a lot of times those things can stand out there just out of your shot range, or right, maybe with something obscuring their vitals, and they can see you.
Right.
So I like to have like maybe one or two crappy shooting lanes, because then I know they have to come super, super close.
Right. They're not going to lock up waiting to see an elk, right?
Right, right. And then also, if, let's say, they hang up, which happens a lot. I mean, that's kind of the age-old thing, you know. Since I've been bow hunting, I remember the first book I read about calling in elk is like a Dwight Shue book, and there was a whole chapter on hang-ups, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it's been doing it to everybody, so don't worry about that. But if they hang up and you're in a pretty thick spot, or, you know, there's a lot of trees and a lot of cover, it's okay. You could get aggressive at some point. Once you decide he's not going to come in, you can get aggressive and maybe close the gap. If he's 60 yards away, you can cover half the distance, get close, you know, closer. And a lot of times I'll hear you coming. And at that point, I'm trying to be noisy. I'm not going to be Elmer Fudd. I'm not sneaking up. I'm not trying to be stealthy. I want him to think I'm a big old pissed off bull elk that wants to fight. And you can hear me popping brush, breaking sticks, coming his way. And that's that realism that'll kind of like make a difference. A lot of times they'll hear that and they will get so mad. And a lot of times they'll finally show themselves. And by then you might walk up and find a nice shooting lane, and he'll walk out into it and maybe he'll get that shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you starting from like the ridges, or I guess it's probably depends on what terrain you're in. You hunt all over the place. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if let's say your road system's in the bottom, of course we're going to try to, we want to gain elevation, because it just seems like you can hear so much better if you're on a ridge line, you know, or if it's a great big ridge, you're halfway in the halfway of the country, you know. That way your bugle will carry a lot further. A lot of times if you're down in the low stuff in the valley or in the creek bottoms, it's hard to hear replies. You can, maybe there's water, you know, rushing,
and
you just can't hear it through the water. Or you're down in a pretty tight pocket and you hear a bull bugle, but man, a lot of times they're really hard to figure out. It's like, where'd that come from? Where'd that noise come from? I can't tell where that bull's at. So by climbing the ridges and getting up there, getting some elevation, it's a lot easier to locate them and pinpoint them.
Right, right. Yeah, and a lot of what we do is run the ridges. I think it's a little bit easier walking as well. So
absolutely.
Cover some ground. And I think that's probably our – Eastern Oregon, that's our biggest thing is we just cover ground until we find them. And then like you said, I think that's the best way to do is get in close before you really get after it. And you know, early on in my calling, I started in the 90s, and then early on I called in quite a few bulls, and then I got with another guy that hunted a lot, and he would call and then he would just shush, and he would sneak in on them and shoot them while they were bugling, and you know, he never did call again. He just did it for a locate.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's next level.
He killed a few bulls that way, and then he talked me out of bugling. And for years, for probably 7-8 years, I didn't bugle. I wouldn't even carry a bugle with me. He didn't even like seeing them. And So then I got to where, I'll never forget, we called this bull. I bugled up at the top. I called this bull up, and I had all the cows. The cows came to me first, and they started chirping, and he was glunking behind them. And I'll never forget, he told me at the end of all that that I was calling too much. And I think now, looking back on it, I think I should have been calling more. I would have probably called that bull right across me.
Sometimes I feel like I call too much. But then you start listening to some of the elk and,
right,
you know, I sometimes have bulls just, they'll bugle every 10 seconds. They're coming in hot. They just scream every 10, 20 seconds. So, I think if you bugle too much at the wrong time, that's definitely a thing, but.
Yeah. I happened into a bull one day about 2 o'clock. I was walking up through this marshy spot and just walking through and just not even paying attention to what I was doing. I was going back to camp, getting something to eat. Right. And, early on. And I walking through there and I heard, and I'm walking through the, you know, the marshy, muddy muskeg stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I clop, 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 clop. And that bull heard me walking through there and he bugled at me. He wasn't 50 yards away. Him and his cows weren't 50 yards away, but we had this big alder patch in between us. And, stupid old me, I could remember, this is one of my favorite call-in sequences because the bull came so close, but, there was no way I was going to get a shot. I don't know what I was thinking. But he bugled at me. So I just pulled my bugle off my back and bugled right back at him. I didn't even look where I was standing. And that bull came running and within about 10 feet of me, just on the other side of the alders, looking through the alders at me. Yeah. And I just stand there looking really dumb. So, and that was when I was, you know, pretty new at calling. We called a lot of bulls in, but we never really called them in to shoot them. We were calling them in early on, like rifle season and stuff, deer season, and just seeing them. So, you know, I think as young guys go, I was trying to tie it all back together, as the young guys go, you know, you have to be able to shoot them. That's been my biggest problem. I've got caught underneath trees. I've got caught behind trees. Last year we got caught behind a tree instead of being in front of it. And, you know, it was just young guys. But so that's why we wear camouflage, right?
That's right. Yeah, and, it never fails. There's all of these rookie mistakes, right? But, as try as you might, I've been doing this 30 years, and I still make these stupid rookie mistakes every now and then. So, you know, I think it's human nature.
Yeah, and you feel like a knucklehead when you do it. And at the moment, you're like, oh, this is not going to turn out well. But so moving on, this year, you work for Phelps Calls, right?
Yep.
And I imagine you're probably going to do a couple hunts with those guys.
I'll be doing one hunt with Jason and John Gabriel. He's our website guy. And partner with the Elk Collective, and we're going to New Mexico, so
that'll be a humdinger. Yeah,
I've never hunted New Mexico, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Elk Collective. What is the Elk Collective?
So it's online digital elk hunting education. So if you want to learn how to hunt, maybe you're new at hunting and you've never elk hunted before, or maybe you're a seasoned vet but always looking to put a few more knowledge arrows in your quiver, then the site's for you. It's a subscription site, and what it is, it's all video based, so there's no reading, sitting down and having to dedicate time to read a PDF or whatever, or look at the pictures. But it's all video, so you can watch it in your spare time as you do housework or maybe pulling one over on the boss at work. You can listen in, or you can, you know, if you want to sit down and watch it. You know, we try to have it not just a person standing in front of a white wall. We try to keep it interesting. But we're approaching 90 videos now.
Wow.
Of educational videos on there. And the cool thing is, every year we put more new content. So all the stuff we have on there this year, it'll be there next year, but we're going to take all of our content from this elk season and break it down and use it as educational pieces for next year as well. So it's really great this year, the stuff we've got on there, but I think next year is even going to be even better, just because in 2019, we weren't planning ahead to do this. You know, we kind of, at the end of last year, we started putting our heads together, Jason Phelps and I, and Dan Staten, you might know him from Elk Shape, and John Gabriel, our website guy. We all put our heads together and said, hey, we should do this project. You know, there's plenty of space in the elk hunting industry for more education, you know.
Well, and especially good education, you know. There's a lot into what you guys do, and I think you're kind of well-rounded. I mean, Jason's in Washington, and he cut his teeth on Roosevelt, and you're in Idaho. So, I mean, the knowledge there, I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah, and we're bringing in all these other subject matter experts, you know, because here's the deal. We don't want this just to be our way of elk hunting, because like the old saying goes, there's more than one way to skin a cat, right?
Right.
So we have these other guys in, you know, we're having these other guys, some really experienced, successful hunters that we've brought in to talk on there. You know, we've got, you know, the Ryan Lampers guys. There's some guys on there a lot of people haven't heard about. They're not like some celebrity or anything.
Right.
You know, they're just successful blue collar hunter, just like 99% of us are, right?
Awesome.
And they're kind of sharing their way of doing it, you know. We've got an elk biologist, right? I don't know if you know Chris Rowe from Rowe Hunting Resources.
I don't, no.
He's a big game biologist who spent most of his career in Colorado. And he's lived with the elk, studied them thousands of hours. So,
wow.
So everybody's, you know, and maybe not everybody's heard kind of like my philosophies on elk hunting and stuff, but his are like polar opposite, like on elk calling, and he's got it broken down into like why the elk say this and why they say that, almost a Dr. Doolittle, if you will.
Gotcha. So he's
but he's
kind of breaking down sounds then.
Yeah, but this guy is like a college professor on the way he's got this stuff broken down. Wow. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So I love it because here's the deal. I'm always trying to pick up, you know, tidbits from everybody else. You know, I'm a forever student of the game of elk hunting. So I'm always trying to learn from everybody. I could learn something from a 12-year-old kid. You know, I think when you think you know it all, then the elk quickly remind you, you don't know squat.
Yeah, exactly. There's way more to it than what we could even think. Yeah. Cool.
So that's been really fun putting that together, and met a lot of new people doing it. And it's been taking off really good. So.
Yeah. Is there a website for that?
Yeah. It's just called theelkcollective.com.
Theelkcollective.com.
Yeah.
Right on.
You can go there, check it out. If there's a blog section where we've put a whole bunch of teaser videos to kind of show some of the stuff that's inside, you know, so there'll be a 2 or 3 minute teaser video of someone talking on whatever subject to kind of whet your appetite to see like, well, what the heck's this thing even about? So we're trying to get, you know, more people to understand what it's all about.
So we have, you know, my audience, a lot of them are like Midwestern. So, you know, a lot of middle of the country stuff, and they like their dream hunt would be an elk hunt. So would this be something that would help them, like say they could drive to Colorado and get an over-the-counter tag, would this help them give them, you know, like a, do you guys go over like e-scouting or things like that in it?
Yeah, we do some basic e-scouting stuff in there as well. We've actually partnered with it, and we're, I probably shouldn't even say anything because it hasn't come out yet. But there's a guy named Mark Livesay that does Tree Line Academy, I believe. And he has a master class of e-scouting. So
cool.
we're gonna wrap a bundle package with that real soon. It's going to come out any day now.
Okay.
So you can buy you can buy a subscription in the Elk Collective and the Treeline e-scouting program. And yeah, dude, I only wish there was something even close to this back when I first started hunting. I mean, I read some books and watched some VHS videos, and and they weren't really the videos were never really instructional too much. They were more just like, you know, the hunt, you know,
right?
Like Larry D. Jones and stuff, which were good.
You had to just sit there and try to figure out exactly what he was doing. He wasn't telling you; he was just showing. Yeah,
yeah. He wasn't showing all these magician secrets.
Right, right. Yeah. The movement behind the tree. That one video of him. That's why I shoot a recurve, actually, is because I watched Elk Fever. I think it's Elk Fever 2 where he shot that bull. He was behind the tree and he comes around the corner and shoots it at, I don't know, what was it, maybe 5 yards.
Oh yeah,
yeah, good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
Oh man, I still get excited about that. I'm gonna have to watch that again before.
I think it's on YouTube, isn't it?
It is. Yep.
The Elk Foundation or something has it on their YouTube channel.
Yep.
Is that right?
They got both of them. Yep.
Yeah. And then did you see? Now we're on a tangent. But did you see Elk Fever 3?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that is such a heart-wrenching story.
I actually had Ben on here on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The producer.
Ben Potter?
Yep.
Yeah. So. Ben's a great guy. So him and one of his guys filmed The Linguists.
Right.
When they filmed Corey and Donnie and I, and plus they, you know, filmed Will Primos and Wayne Carlton and Rocky and all Ben does a knock-up job on films.
Oh boy. Yeah. Yeah. He's really a good elk hunter too. I think he is. Yeah. They ended up getting 2 last year, him and his wife. Man. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I've been trying to get him come up here and go hunting with me. He's a big duck hunter too. And I am too. And I've been trying to get him come up here and go with me, but you know, he's a pretty busy dude. Right on. So it sounds like the Elk Collective then would be an amazing tool for somebody who's like, yeah, I'm going to throw all in. I'm going to learn and I'm going to drive over there and we're going on this hunt. And really it's not out of reach if you really think about it, you know?
Oh yeah. It's definitely very doable for new people getting involved. You know, they just don't want a lot of people, you know, I think they're coming into the folds and they say hunter recruitment nationwide's down, but I think a lot, you know, this is my personal opinion. I don't know the statistics, but I would assume a lot of that's just like new, like mum hunters, like kids.
Yeah.
We're competing with video games and electronics and all this other fun stuff, instant gratification. But I think there's this big movement of, you know, those 30 year old, the 45 year old guys, and girls, who have found this new interest in it and want to do it. And yeah, it would be I think it'd be a very, very strong tool for those folks to learn how to hunt elk. You know, we got everything in there from, you know, this is not real sexy, but some people think it is, but like fitness, nutrition, you know, Dan Staton, he's a fitness guru. And we've got a lot of films from our elk shape camps where he kind of breaks down the fitness and nutrition. And then you got guys like Ryan Lampers on there. And that guy, he only eats healthy. You know, he clean eats year-round. Yeah. And he kind of goes into a lot of the stuff he uses for food and for his backcountry trips and what he has in his pack and how, you know, kind of his whole take on it. And, you know, from everything from that to from some e-scouting stuff, from calling tactics, and just like best practices for scouting, you know, like boots on the ground scouting.
Yeah.
I've got like a 3-video series on there about trail cameras and scout. I'm kind of scouting as I went and picked up some trail cameras this year. And then I kind of showed the videos that were on the trail cameras, and this one trail camera, it was incredible. After I kind of mashed up all the clips together, there's about an hour of elk behavior. I had this camera set up on this trail in the perfect spot, and these elk would come up.
That's awesome. Stop.
Yeah, they would stop. They would. Some would pee. Some would eat grass.
Right.
Sometimes a bull would walk up and bugle or lick his lips or just make all these little noises, all these little subtleties. Just it was amazing to watch. To just like watch that. It was so interesting to me. Some people might think it's boring, but anyway, there's a 3-part series and I got 3 different Yeah, I got three different cameras on there, trail cameras on the with video on them, and to kind of show what, you know, me going pulling them, and as I'm pulling them, I'm, you know, scouting, boots on the ground scouting, kind of talking about some of the things I'm looking for, and then you kind of get to see the reap the benefits of that camera. So
that's cool. So you're going to go with the Phelps crew, and I know you're going with a buddy of both of ours, with Trent.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Getting a little bit excited for that.
Oh boy. Yeah, you guys don't have any fun doing that though.
No.
You know, he's hard to hunt with.
He is. He's so belligerent.
do you know what guys where you're going yet, or?
We're going to Montana, so we both threw tags over there, and Cody too.
Oh, Cody's going with you guys.
Yeah, he's going to go with us, and that's going to be awesome because I haven't got to hunt with Trent and Cody since 2017.
Yeah.
So, man, I'm so excited because, man, Trent is so fun, but Cody is another. He's just like the next level catalyst. He's an instigator, right? So he's always kind of stirring the pot, and he always says little funny things and gets us going. And he's a heck of a camera guy, and he's a heck of a hunter too. So we're going to try like heck. We want Cody to shoot a bull. So he's going to be shooting first shooter.
Nice.
And I don't care if he wants to fight us. He's shooting first.
Right on. That's cool.
And we want to get him a bull. And then we'll see. Trent said he wants to hunt elk in Montana with a rifle. So he's like, nope, you're shooting second, Dirk, because I want to get one of the rifles. So we'll see how it all plays out.
That sounds good. It's good. Sounds like there's already drama happening.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
If there could be drama in that camp at all, I mean.
Wait till you see my podcast. Me and Trent, I did here. It's in the pipe. It's just coming down. It's going to be hitting probably next week. So.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be really good.
Yeah.
So
it's of no value though. There's no value to that.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of value.
It's basically maybe not for elk hunting, him and I. Yeah, we're basically giggling like a couple school girls saying stupid crap for like, I don't know, 45 minutes. So.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
If you like that kind of thing, it'd be great.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
If you're a little bit sober and don't think things are very funny, you'd be like, these guys are idiots.
They got to know a little bit of you too. I mean, you know, you guys got some history, I guess is how you'd say it.
Yeah. Very true.
Okay. So on that subject, out of a wrestling match, who would win? Would you beat Nacho Libre or much? So people have to go back and watch Born and Raised to know what I'm talking about here. But have you guys ever talked about that? Who would win in a wrestling match?
No, you know, you know, I know Superman and Batman, they fought one time in a movie and probably it wasn't real pretty and they both had their strong points and yeah, they kind of shook hands in the end. And I don't know. Have you ever hugged Trent Fisher?
Yeah.
Have you hugged that man?
Yeah, he's a grizzly.
He's like hugging a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
That man is stout. He is like, he is solid through and through.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd want to wrestle with him.
Me neither. You don't want to take out another shoulder. That would not be good.
No.
No. So, okay, so you got those two, and then you got any more hunts planned?
Yeah, we're kicking off September here in Idaho. I'm not going to hunt the jungles in North Idaho this year since I moved to Boise area.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hunt southern Idaho. And you might remember my cameraman, Dusty, from from the video series.
Yep.
He's kind of a wiseacre a little bit there. So we're kind of trying to make plans, and he's like, well, he was wondering about when he could get some time to go hunting with his son, because that was important to him. And I said, you know what? Why don't you bring your son with us?
Oh, wow.
So we all got a tag for the same place, and we're taking his son, Easton. He's 16.
Right on.
And, yeah, so my main mission, I really, really want to get Easton and Dusty a bull first.
That's awesome.
if I get to shoot eventually, that's fine. If I don't, I don't care.
Right.
I really want those two because Dusty's never killed a bull. He's been so close, been hunting for a long time and just hasn't connected the dots. And man, I really want those two to have some really awesome father and son experiences and maybe fulfill that dream. So anyway, we're going to do that here in Idaho. Super excited for that too. So man, I've just got a great season lined up.
Oh man, so. I'm excited for you. It sounds good. And I can't wait. So you guys are going to pack cameras for all of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. And I hope you guys do get in, get into nice little bowls and especially in Idaho. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been over one weekend scouting already. It's great. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if there's going to be a lot of roads. I hadn't had a lot of chance to just devour it, as far as e-scouting goes. But when I got there, any of the stuff I kind of looked at on Google Earth, I thought, oh, we'll just go up this old road here. No, it's non-motorized.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the old kind of like decommissioned type old logging roads or old farming roads or whatever, mining roads.
Right.
They're all non-motorized, and a lot of trails are non-motorized, so guys won't be ripping around dirt bikes or ATVs or anything. So I'm pretty excited about that because, it's going to take a little more boot leather to get there.
Right.
But just the experience of the overall hunt is going to be so much better. Yeah. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. So one of the units that we hunt, we drew it again this year. That's half the problem sometimes is you get a bull going and you're like, man, we really got to get on this guy before somebody else hears the bugle and comes over.
That's
the tough spot.
Yeah. It's North Idaho. That's kind of the unique thing from like North Central Idaho clear to Canada. A lot of it is roaded. And I've never elk hunted anywhere like it as far as the amount of roads there are.
Right.
And a lot of that country, there is some backcountry stuff where you can get away on some roadless stuff. But, people take advantage of those roads, man. They're beating them on their ATVs or dirt bikes or side-by-sides. The UTVs, those are super popular in northern Idaho. If you don't have one of those, man, you're not big time.
Yeah.
You're not a big time hunter or a recreationalist. It's unbelievable. If you can look at the highway, on a Friday or a Saturday, and every single truck, 20 years ago would have had a four-wheeler.
Right.
They've all got those side-by-sides now, and they just go everywhere.
Yeah. And fast.
So, and fast, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we called in a pickup last year. And then it's funny because we called him in, and then he comes down and tells us the bulls aren't bugling yet. We shouldn't be bugling.
Oh,
pretty funny though. But cool. Well, it sounds like you got a good season lined up, and then I just can't wait to see what you guys put out and all the fun that you guys are going to have. That's probably the best thing about watching you guys is there's definitely some hardcore elk hunting going on, but at the same time, there's a whole lot of fun going on as well.
Yeah, we fool around a lot, goof off and shenanigans, but we do hunt hard.
Yeah,
hunt hard, have fun. You can't take it super serious at times because, if you do, then if you get too serious about it, everybody kind of, if you don't have success, and you have struggles, and then everybody kind of gets down a little bit, and it's harder. It's harder to hunt with a heavy heart than a light heart. So I prefer the lighthearted way.
I hear you. All right. I'll leave one last thing before we get off of here. Give me your number one elk tip for, say, somebody that's coming out from the Midwest. What would be your number one thing that you would tell them?
I always say don't give up. I feel like people give up long before they should.
Yeah.
I've hunted with people that you get a couple days in camp and things aren't going good. Maybe you haven't heard a darn elk bugle in 2 days and it's hot and dry and it's tough conditions. And I've had some guys be like, I'm heading home.
Yep.
And man, and especially out of state, you're probably not going to do that, but but within that same regard too, you know, don't set your sights too high. Don't come out thinking, man, I'm going to shoot a 6-point bull,
right?
350 bull.
Right, right.
If you're new, especially if you're new, and just haven't, you know, been elk hunting long, or maybe you've been hunting for a while and just haven't tasted success yet. Don't set yourself up with failure saying you're going to hold out for a big one. You know, right. The first legal elk that you can take, man, take that opportunity and take home that delicious food. It might be a yearling cow or a spike bull or a raghorn. Who cares?
Right.
Yeah, take that animal, and what you'll learn from that experience, then you can learn so much from that, and then next year you can build upon it. Next year you can build upon it. And, you know, after you've been successful a while, you know, it's like, you know what, I'm going to hold out for a nice 6-pointer or a 5-pointer, whatever your sights are.
Yeah.
You know, don't set your sights too high on that. And then I feel like a lot of guys, and I find myself doing this, here's a trap, right? So the whole planning process of your hunt, especially if you're planning with other people, it's like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to go to the spot and we're going to do this and this and this, and it's going to be great. And so there's a lot of buildup, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of buildup.
Yep.
That's like one of the funnest parts of hunting, right? Is all this buildup. It's like, man, it's going to be so good. And then day one, you get kicked right in the teeth. there's no elk. Or
right.
The place, if you're in wolf country, there's wolves everywhere.
Yeah.
Or there's people everywhere. Doug Flutie's on every ridge. you have to understand that, like, okay, well, that's elk hunting. What are we going to do about it? So go with a plan A, a plan B, plan C, you know, several different plans. Let's say you get to a spot and it's just, this is not going to work out at all. Don't be afraid to just say, you know what? I'm over it. Let's go over to one of the other places and go to a different hunting spot and start hunting there. And I do this a lot, man. In Idaho, especially up north, I move around a lot because there's a lot of places, there's a lot of people or a lot of wolves or no elk. So I just move around until I get into them. And once that kind of dries up, then I move on to the next spot. So don't fall in love with the country and then stay in that one spot for a whole week or 10 days thinking that, oh, yeah, I seen some elk sign here and they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do, but a lot of times they don't.
Yeah.
So maybe write that one down for in a 2 or 3 days, but go over to your other places and then you can always revisit, you know, if you think, have a hunch there's going to be some elk there. So
that's a great tip. Yeah. You know, I caught myself doing that same thing. You know, you get into a spot and the first day you're in there, the sign is so fresh and you can even smell them and everything else. And you're like, oh, they'll be back. They'll be back. And then you're 3 days into it and they're like, now what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a trap.
Yep.
It's a trap.
Yep. Been there.
Been there, done that. Yep. I've done it a lot.
Yep. Well, cool. Well, thanks a bunch for coming on here. And, once again, everybody that's listening to this, you guys go over, check out the Bugler, check out, what was it again? The Bugler brand.com. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Run over there, check all that out. And then of course the Elk Collective, you guys, if you're thinking about coming out, you probably should have already been on this by now, but if you're not, this might give you a chance to, you know, jump out here. So, go over and check out the Elk Collective. And of course, all the YouTube and just you're everywhere. So just look for the Bugler. He's around.
I'm kind of surprised though, Nate, you haven't asked me the one question I've been waiting for all night.
Uh-oh.
When are you going to go elk hunting with a trad bow? I was waiting for you to ask me that.
Yeah. You know, I've asked some other people that and I don't want to pin them down on it because I don't, you know, when are you going to go hunting with the trad bow?
Not this year.
Are you looking at doing that though?
I want to real bad. So just trying to figure it out. I really wanted to let my shoulder heal this year and get completely rehabilitated and feel normal. And then maybe 2021. Dan Staten is holding my feet to the fire to come back to North Idaho and hunt some of my old haunts. So if that happens, if I go to North Idaho, maybe I'll do that.
It's pretty brushy up there, huh?
It's so brushy. It's ideal for traditional archery. So
sometimes the trad bow, the one thing I think the big advantage you have with the compound, of course, is you could draw when you want, and that's right. That's a big deal. But I think other than that, man, you know, there's times I think maybe even the trad bow gives you a, you don't have to worry about, you know, checking your bubble and all this. You just come to an anchor and let her go. So sometimes that helps too. So, there's been a lot of guys come over from compounds that, especially good elk hunters, that do really well with trad bows. You know, Cody's got two, I think, two with his trad bow.
Yeah. Look at Aaron Snyder.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he's talked so much crap over the years about trad bows, and then he's like, well, then, you know, he's talking the talk and walking the walk. You know, he's a good hunter. So.
Oh, Aaron, yeah. There's not many better, I'll tell you that. You know, he when he went over the trad bow, I talked to him a little bit, and the cool thing is it rekindled something in him that he was losing with hunting, you know? And I think that's even more important than any of the other stuff, but he came in and just, he was like a man on a mission, and animals were just, he was just getting animal after animal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. I'm interested to see what he does this year. I know he's got a lot of things planned, but I think he's going to do some compound stuff as well. So it's going to be an interesting year to see what he does.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. So if you do go trad bow, are you going to go recurve or longbow?
You don't even know yet.
Recurve.
Recurve. Yeah.
You've been thinking about this.
Oh yeah. I've got both actually.
Gotcha.
I've got a longbow made out of Osage Orange.
Oh, right on.
And then I've got a recurve. It's a Hoyt Buffalo.
Oh yeah.
That recurve, it shoots quite a bit faster, and
yeah,
but it's a little shorter, you know, than that longbow. And I think, you know, just in that thick timber and heavy brush country, I think it's just going to be easier to navigate.
Yeah, and they don't, you know, they're smoother throughout the whole draw. So it I don't know. To me, I think a recurve is just a little bit easier sometimes to draw smooth. I don't know. It's hard to say, you know. But what you ought to do if you want to do that, you ought to come out and go bear hunting with us with your trad bow to get you out. Yeah, get you out and get started with that, because it opens August 1st, and then and it's like $225 for your license and tags in Oregon to hunt a bear.
And, oh my gosh!
And you know, and that's something that you could do, and that would help you, you know, get ready for drawing on animals and things like that. Turkeys are another one. Turkeys are perfect for trad bows to teach you how and when to draw, because they'll catch you before an elk will by a long shot.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you should come out and shoot some turkeys with us next year. That'd be fun. We could even get Trent to shoot a trad bow.
well, you know, anything's possible. I would have never believed he'd go turkey hunting, and the man went turkey hunting this year.
Yep.
You know, he acted like he liked it. He liked it, I think.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, he might like a trad bow, but I think he said one time something about Cody's trad bow. It's like, oh, if you get tired of killing elk, you just get a trad bow.
yep, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we shot a few carp together, and we were using trad bows, and he's like, yeah. But
it's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a good time. All right. Well, I better let you get going. Thanks for coming on. And
yeah, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, and we'll have to get you out here one of these days. And I can't wait to see what goes on in your elk season. And good luck. You guys have a ball out there.
Thank you.
All righty. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for joining us on another edition of Bear Bow Hunters Podcast. Hey, if you like what you heard, please give us a rating down below. We like the 5 stars. And follow us also on Instagram under Bearbow Hunters. Go to our YouTube account, Bearbow Hunter at YouTube, under the Life Outdoors heading. So that's Bearbow Hunters YouTube under the Life Outdoors. Also, go and join Bearbow Hunter group on Facebook. Thanks again for listening.